joining us this morning of our friend Keith Flowers, who is the first guy I know who's getting a mail order bride, which is going to be a lot of fun for him.
Guys are spinning this on him. A little out of control.
What do you mean?
This isn't somebody that's cataloged, right?
Oh, this isn't one. This isn't like a service.
It is a service.
Oh, my bad, Keith. I'm sorry.
Whoops. Do you think he just happened to meet her in a chat room?
Yeah. That does happen.
What would that chat room be called?
I couldn't afford to be in the magazine.com.
Yeah. No, it's a service. And we've talked about those services, yeah. And a lot of people are very skeptical of them and say that, well, you know, there's no, you know, they're just trying to bring their family. They will do anything to get to America. But he went over there. Whereabouts exactly? What was it, a tiny little village?
It's Mati in the Philippines, at the very southern tip of the Philippines, and Mindanao is the state that it's in.
Mindanao.
And it's country, right? I mean, it's...
Yeah, no, it's...
Jungle.
It's very country. You went through jungle to get there, and Mindanao, as Eric would probably tell you, it is Muslim country.
Oh.
And we went through military checkpoints to get to her place. And
when you say it's Muslim country, she's not Muslim, is she?
No. Her village is almost all Catholic, but you go through the areas that are rebel country.
So how are their Catholic girls? Because I know how our Catholic girls are. They start much too late, remember? Isn't that what Billy Joel used to say? They're ready for marrying at age 14, is what the deal is. Yeah.
And as you were talking about yesterday, just to clear things up, 18 is the age of marriage, legal age of marriage in the Philippines.
Thank God. So they're raising it in the U.S. to 30. Is that, I heard that.
You're damn right there.
So, all right, well, that's good. And do you have a picture?
Oh, yeah, I've got
Let
a lot
see
of
the
pictures.
Picture.
Okay,
hang on. All right, let's see some pictures. You're hot Filipino.
A lot of pictures, he says.
And by the way, some of you heard a few calls yesterday. One guy said, oh, they wanted to bring their whole family. Someone else said it went well. I got several emails from people who said they also got Filipino brides, and it was awesome that they really did. Let's see, this is her, huh? What's her name?
Merivic.
Ah,
Merivic Ganya.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, what are those?
Was her breast?
That's her nieces and nephews.
Okay, those are not her kids.
Future roommates.
No, she didn't have any children.
Okay. Whoa, yeah, three tickets. That's expensive. Oh, there she is. Boy. Very pretty. Very pretty. There it is. There are the huts they live in with the thatched grass roofs made out of little bamboo.
Damn.
The building code there is that the bamboo slats must be at least 50 to a foot and a half, right? Well, does the building inspector come out?
I don't think these are code.
You
don't blow down.
There are no codes.
You'll huff and he will puff, and if it doesn't blow down, you
give me $50. I bet you live here.
This is the land of the free. Here, you take your own chances on the road, in your house, wherever.
Is there a lot of crime?
There was a security guard.
Security checkpoints.
Every 7-Eleven.
Well, I know, but you said that you take your chances.
I'll bet your new neighborhood doesn't have security checkpoints.
No, we don't.
Nope. Wait a minute. There's a 7-Eleven right next to these grass huts and stuff.
Yeah, they're equivalent of 7-Eleven. There's a picture of their 7-Eleven in there, but we'll see it in a moment.
This is a beach.
That's me in the middle of that surf. Yes.
Oh, okay. You're getting washed over by a wave, as did all of the people who tried to raft their way out of here. And, oh, beautiful mountains, beautiful woods. Why would anybody... Oh, I can see why they'd want to leave. Looks very poor. And it's thatched huts with grass roofs.
You know, wow. Some of them, the upscale neighborhood has tin roofs.
Is there a newer kind of grass that's like synthetic, that made to look like grass, that lasts 20 years? They give you a 20-year guarantee with it?
Vinyl-sided bamboo.
Actually, the real grass, they say, lasts 40 years.
Oh. And there she is swimming. She really, I got to say this, I'm looking at her face. The smile is so genuine. I can tell she's really nice. And she really is, she's looking at you.
Yeah.
He is looking at you, kid. And she looks like she loves you.
I think she does.
Yeah. But you haven't
spent... It goes both ways.
Yeah. You haven't spent that much time with her, though, right?
10 days in person.
Why come here? Why not do a, you know, a hut cafe and go there? It looks so nice. I mean, you could live down there.
He's not going to get anybody to pay $3 for a cup of coffee in the Philippines. That's why.
You don't need $3 for it there, though.
Yeah. You could live on less.
If you get 3 pesos, then you can live. Living is just cheap in every aspect of it.
Now, these are palm trees, coconut trees. Coconut trees. And there is a man who appears to be in bare feet climbing a coconut tree.
I was asking her brother, Kid, about how long it takes to grow a coconut from, you know, from the little nut to a real coconut, and just various things about it. And he said, you want to see one? I said, sure. And thinking he would pick one up off the ground or something like that. And he scaled that tree like Spider-Man.
Look at this guy. Joe, look. How far do you think you'd get on that tree?
That's a big tree too. He's not a small man either. That's agile for a guy that size.
He's halfway up a coconut tree.
Unreal.
It's something. And here's a whole bunch of them here. They eat a lot of coconuts.
They eat a lot of coconuts, and it's nothing. Coconuts.
You know what it is? They're so hungry. They're so hungry that they quickly learn to climb a tree with their bare feet.
One thing these people aren't is hungry.
Oh, really?
They're very poor, but they eat good. There's fresh fish to be had. There's coconuts. There's mangoes. There's bananas that are about 3 inches in diameter. And
how about like Snickers bars?
That was the one thing she asked me to bring. I said, is there anything I can bring you from here? She said, well, is chocolate very expensive there? And I said, No,
we squirt it into our coffee for $4 a pop.
And she said, Baby Ruth's.
That's interesting. And now they do eat well. Look at that. All whole foods, all healthy. You bring her here, she finds tasty cakes and bonbons. Maybe you know what's going to happen.
Well, I've warned her that she becomes too Americanized, and we'll be heading right back there.
Did you?
I'll turn this car right back around.
I'll turn it, yeah. That's funny. Beaches look great. She's not going to like the beaches here.
No, I've warned her about the cold. And
what's the temperature? What's the average temp there?
Well, it's winter time there now, and I never saw a day under, but I would guess there's no thermometers that I saw, but 80 to 85 is what I would guess.
John is in Paulsbo. John?
Heard a Filipino accent?
Could you say that again, John?
Have you ever heard a Filipino accent?
Me, personally? Keith just has, but no, I haven't.
Oh, man, they are hilarious. There's no F in Tagalog. And there's no V, you know, like victory. That's not in there either. So you say stuff like fast and, Victor, like that.
Victor.
It's hilarious.
He's trying to help you learn how to...
Yes, not to butcher another language.
You learn.
Thank you so much. Victor.
Thank you, John. Here in this picture, the family is roasting a pig. Now, this is the pig that they killed in your honor?
I guess you would put it that way.
When Keith arrived, if you just tuned in, Keith chatted up a Filipino woman online from one of those services where they have pictures of girls who want to marry and come to the United States. He spent 6 months talking to her. Then he flew to this tiny little island, had to go through Muslim security guards. That's amazing. Do they have a list of things you can't bring through the security checkpoint the way we do? You know, Walkmans, iPods, or whatever, the American thing.
Pornography. Mexican magazine.
If they did, I couldn't read the language. No. So, and it was the Filipino army that had the checkpoints, making sure that I wasn't a Muslim rebel.
Oh, I see. Oh, wow. So it's looking for the same thing we're looking for.
Yeah.
Because they have had... Yeah, wasn't there a nightclub there where they blew up a nightclub, or where was that, Indonesia?
Yeah. Bali.
Yeah, Bali.
Okay. So here's the pig. They killed a pig in your honor. Did you watch?
Yep. And they pulled it out at midnight, and it was squealing right on that.
They said, welcome to our country. We want you to have our daughter, and we want you to eat well.
This is for you, kid.
This pig's for you. That's a big sacrifice there, too, because there aren't a lot of pigs running around.
They don't have pig often?
No.
Just when they find a bride, a husband for somebody. Oh, look at this. Well, now, what are they doing here?
We were assembling. Her mom is paralyzed, sits in the chair all day, and so she can, with a big antenna, they could get two TV stations from far away, and so stuff's so cheap there that I bought her mom a TV.
Wow. Her mom loves you.
That's there. You know why? That's because he wants her mom to sit in that chair in front of that TV and not come to America.
Well, wait till she hears about Comcast cable, though.
Yeah.
She gets two shows?
You're not going to bring them. Are you going to bring the family over?
We didn't talk about that at all. As a matter of fact, after the show yesterday, I was thinking about it with some of the comments that people had.
Everybody thinks,
had
oh, they just want you to bring their family.
She didn't ask me two sentences about America. You know, I would compare things to here and there, but as I thought back on it, there didn't seem to be any compelling desire to come to America per se. It never really arrived.
All right, now I got to ask, you spent 6 months online.
Yeah.
Does that count, Casey? You know what I mean? Does that count as in terms of time earned towards mileage rewards?
Nice.
I guess. It's just...
It's courting, right?
It is.
It is. So after 6 months online, I mean, we're on our 60th
day. I know you've heard before that my hand is getting sore, but it really is getting sore. I'm tired of typing. I've got carpal tunnel.
Joe will tell you I was the last person in...
You're the last person on the internet. This guy, he didn't embrace CD technology.
I'm not getting rid of my vinyl.
Right.
Damn you all to hell.
He finally got a computer, and then lo and behold, look what he finds. I mean,
so
there's women in here!
That's what got you to the internet, too. I can't find a woman around here. The women around... Now, talk about the women in America. So I thought this was very fascinating. The women in America, you say, and I agree with you, are generally, you know, as much as they want women's lib and such, they also expect to be kept. They also expect to not have to do any hard work, a lot of them.
I don't want to go too far.
You said all of this. Oh, and now you put a microphone in front of you. See, this is what I do. I put my innermost scary thoughts out there in front of the microphone. Then I get the complaint emails. But seriously.
Well, I don't want to speak about American women.
Let's put it this way. Let's spin it nicely and you'll be happy
with
this. I can
shut my eyes. Hang on.
Yeah. Some of these foreign gals are willing to come here, work hard in a coffee shop, or do the kinds of things that Zsa Zsa Gabor would not do. And you're looking for like a life mate, a help partner, someone to actually care about your little coffee shop with you, which is a traditionally old American way. There's you know Italian families who run a pizzeria and things like that, and they really get into it. I'm not saying it's the only way to be.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that American women are lazy or anything, but I didn't run across anyone. It's not so much...
You couldn't find a non-lazy one.
I couldn't find one.
They're not out there. But
I couldn't find one that wanted to watch me work that hard.
Oh. So you had... Now, you had several girlfriends. I remember one. Very pretty.
She was my wife for quite a few years after that.
Okay. And she thought you spent too much time on the business.
Yeah.
Liked all those nice things the business provides, but, you know... Women in this country, and you don't want to generalize. And I see
no, not at all. While we're generalizing, you always say that.
But a very privileged culture here for the women in this country.
Okay. So anyway, back to my other question, which you'd sort of dodged. Well, 6 months is a long time to wait.
It is a long time to wait, and
assume you were faithful, that you didn't go to any other internet chat rooms during that time.
No, and that was a big concern to her. Is you're not chatting with other women, are you? And I
really?
Said,
no,
I'm
hands.
Not.
No, and see? Smell my hand.
And it's funny because you can go out on a date with here, go out, pick her up.
Dinner.
Get to the movie.
Movie.
sit there for 2.5 hours on the drive home, awkward silence, and you haven't really said too much, you know, during that whole period of time. Mm-hmm. Just like with radio, dead air on a chat format is very uncomfortable. So you
so that's six quality months of burning up that QWERTY.
Didn't you wind up getting video so you could see each other and stuff?
Yeah. Well, the webcam.
Right.
Okay. You know, you'd webcammed? Oh. Had you done any virtual webcam things? You know, things
I don't know
for
what
each other?
That is.
Things for each other on video. Help me out, guys.
No, because she's in an internet cafe anytime.
Well, 50 cents. Who are those people behind you?
50 cents or more, I get privacy booth. Now you're talking.
I see. But when you got there, I mean, you were only there for how long?
10 days.
10 days.
And the first 3 hours, sitting with 3 uncles and 4 big brothers.
Nothing's going to happen there.
And they're saying, what are your intentions with our Maravich?
Wow. What do you say to that? When you look at them and you say...
I just flew halfway around the world to meet her. So I'm looking at piles and piles of paperwork and substantial amount of money. And so I think that demonstrates my seriousness for now. You hang with me for a few days and...
See if you like me. Yeah.
See if you like me and see if you trust me. And it seemed to satisfy them because right after that, they were my security force, my chauffeur, my door opener. Just the, it
what's
was
the Filipino word for golden goose?
Golden goose?
Yeah, it's your code name.
I get that. I get that. They wanted to sort of give you the evil eye for when you first got there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and that basically reassured me a lot that they weren't always just trying to impress me. They're not looking for just any man.
They
grilled me pretty good off the bat, and it was fairly intimidating.
So when did the two of you finally get a little time together alone? Or was that ever a possibility in a thatched hut? Those things are,
very thin.
Those are thinner than... thinner than Motel 6 walls, I would imagine, right?
It's a very noisy place.
Is it so they could drown out the noises? What's that? Oh, someone is killing a pig three blocks away.
His mom watching one of only two channels.
There's a lot
she
of children.
We love nothing.
There's a lot of children around. You know, uh-huh. The roar of the surf.
Okay, so there was you were able to.
Oh yeah, we spent a lot of time together. And then,
how long before that? Like, and did the uncles and brothers weren't watching?
No.
Okay.
That's why he bought the TV as a distraction.
Here's TV for your mom. It has 500-watt speaker. Chris Angel is the 21st century's most acclaimed illusionist. He's the only person in history to be named Magician of the Year 3 times, and his show Mind Freak is one of the highest-rated shows on a cable network. Chris Angel, welcome to the Bob Rivers Show.
Hey, Bob, thank you so very much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
You are pretty amazing, and, you know, just when you think you've seen it all kind of a deal. Illusionist, magician, freak of nature. What do those three things individually mean to you?
Well, as an illusionist, I try to play with people's perception of reality. And as somebody that's trying to create magic that doesn't involve tricks, it's basically the emotional connection that I have with the person experience it. And when that happens, if I can connect to them on an emotional level, and that's the true definition to me of magic.
Before you move on to the next one, is that in a way like hypnosis, in a sense? Your emotional connection is so strong that people see what you want them to see?
Well, a lot of what I do is definitely using hypno and a lot of mentalism, and it's basically just being, you know, a true student of, you know, psychology and of human nature, because what I try to do is to assess by looking at somebody, you know, very quickly to formulate an opinion of what this person's like, and I try to utilize all those things to get inside their head, essentially.
All right, what is it today to be a magician? to be a magician in 2005, is that different from being a magician, say, in Houdini's time?
I don't even consider myself, quite honestly, as a magician, because I think the term magic kind of limits you to, you know, a very pigeonhole kind of thing. I just, you know, consider what I do as art, and I try to utilize a lot of different elements to try to create that experience for somebody. But I think, you know, unfortunately, from the day of Houdini to now, you know, magic has lost its, you know, its ability to really garner the respect that it once deserved, that it once had, I should say, because it's become a cheap kind of hokey novelty of shoving girls in leotards and boxes. And to me, that's not what it's about. It's about connecting to people like Houdini did. When Houdini would escape out of a straitjacket, people looked at that as a symbol that if Houdini could get out of this straitjacket, maybe they could get out of poverty. And for me, that connection is much greater than any trick or an escape that you can do. It's because people are vested on an emotional level, and that's really what I try to do with my art.
That's fascinating. And you know what? That was a totally unexpected answer, because you know what? I've been thinking that one of the reasons magic is more challenged today is that with Spielberg and Lucas, they were able to do things that absolutely are 100% convincing, and so you get used to seeing amazing things. But you say...
But you don't see those live.
You can't do that live. That's right. All right.
But you're right in one thing. I'll tell you this. What's interesting is that, you know, we live, what would fool somebody, you know, in the early 1900s will definitely not fool anybody today. We live in a technological, you know, day and age where people walk around with cameras and their cell phones. And kids are so much more sophisticated because of the internet, and their attention span so much shorter because of the information overload that you have on television. So to hold somebody's attention and to be able to hold it and mystify them with the knowledge that they have today is a much greater challenge, I believe, in a lot of ways. But the one thing that we still have in common is just the pure raw emotion that, you know, essentially any Steven Spielberg movie or The Wizard of Oz, you know, the secret ingredient to anything is not the special effects. Is that great story and that connection that story provides for somebody, like a great song.
Right on. All right, and finally, your publicist describes you as, and you assume you pay this person to say this, your publicist describes you as a freak of nature. What does that mean?
I have no idea, because I've never heard him say that.
It means
but
it's time to get a new publicist.
I just perceive myself to be normal, and a lot of people that look at me probably do think I'm a freak of nature, but in my own little world, it's normal what I do. But hanging from four fish hooks from a helicopter is probably not normal to a lot of people.
Chris, my wife and I watched Mind Freak, and I thought it was a fascinating piece of work. I can't imagine how you can take this mental connection and investment you ask of people and translate it to film. I mean, first off, how many times have you had to redo a fish hook hang because they had bad lighting, and do you just have that guy shot immediately for doing that to you?
No, actually, I do a good portion of the stuff that I do. I literally do it like the fish hooks in one take, because I just can't physically do it again. It just takes too much out of me mentally and physically. You know, the helicopter hanging from the fish hooks was, you know, a real thing. A lot of people see it and they still think it's an illusion, but it was not an illusion. You know, I had four fish hooks through my back, hung from a helicopter 1,000 feet above the Valley of Fire, and it was excruciatingly painful. And at one point, I almost wasn't able to do it. And mentally, you know, your body's a slave to your mind. So, you know, I really had to get it together and be able to do it. So a good portion of what I do is completely in one take. And I will not do anything on television that I cannot do live. That's a very important element, unlike some other people that are on television.
Yeah.
I got a buddy who fancies himself a magician, Chris, and most of his tricks I debunk really fast, but there's a trick he does that is bugging the heck out of me. Now, I don't know if you can reveal...
No, it's the magician's code. He can't tell
you. That's what my friend says. He says, I can tell you when you're 65, but what he does is he takes a piece of tinfoil, he dips it in paper, folds it up, sticks it in my hand. It gets real hot. It starts smoking.
If you do that, and this is completely serious, make sure you wash your hands after he does that.
Oh, really? So you know that trick.
You don't know where that tinfoil's been.
Another reason why I say that is because that's something that I don't even believe they sell anymore. You can get that. I know of a couple places you can get it, but that's not something that's really. I don't want to get anybody
in trouble.
You got to be very careful.
Is it the
very careful? See, he can't rat on his fellow magician.
Because he pulls out a thing of like Reynolds, you know, tinfoil. It looks like the stuff you wrap a turkey in. Is that like fake magic tinfoil or something? Come on, tell me, please.
No, it's not. It's completely real. It's a real wrapper and stuff like that. But without giving anything away, you may want to
wash your hands afterwards. That's the clue. Yeah.
Okay.
Wash your hands. And you know what? That's good anyway, Chris. Just promote good personal hygiene.
Anytime you're doing magic, especially with rabbits, tinfoil, anything.
Whatever you're using, those doves, man, they crap all over the inside of that bag. So, hey, do you use any animals?
I'm doing a lot of different things with not necessarily just like I use different types of animals like snakes and I do use some pigeons and stuff, but I'm not like doing Siegfried and Roy's act by any means. I've used a black panther and different things, but I use whatever I need to use to try to create what's in my mind. So whatever that might be, it might be something that I don't even understand or know anything about. I just kind of get a crash course on and try to be absorbed in it. But animals are something I love, but I don't use them like in every show or anything like that.
Illusionist Chris Angel.
Actually,
folks,
I'm going to be performing for a bunch of monkeys in my upcoming season of Mind Freak, which is kind of funny. I'm going to have a bunch of monkeys sitting down, and I'm going to be performing for them.
Chris, named Magician of the Year 3 times, and Chris, with the weekly series and all that, you have to be constantly inventing new tricks. You can't just, a lot of people tour and you see them maybe a year and a half later and maybe they've added one trick, but when you do a show every week, you have to really, how do you, do they come to you automatically? Do you have a team of people?
Honestly, it's without tooting my own horn, and it's not, but it's the truth that it's been unprecedented. In more than 40 years, this is the first series that has the element of magic in it, and it's incredibly difficult. I have to come up with, right now, to do next season, about 200 different things that I'm working really hard, but I'm constantly writing stuff down and, trying to push my own envelope, and there's a lot of things that I have on my mind, but I'm just hoping that the well doesn't eventually run dry, which I don't believe it will in the near future, but that's definitely a challenge, and I have an incredible team that also is integral.
You do have a team of folks helping you with it. And you mentioned pushing the envelope. What's the closest you've had, the closest brush with death? And was it involved in your magic tricks, or were you walking across the street with a latte?
No, I got struck with 3 million volts because I wanted to experience that, and that was in one episode of Mind Freak last year, which actually Mind Freak still airs every Wednesday at 10 o'clock
Eastern
on A&E, and they show repeats of this stuff, but I got struck with 3 million volts from a Tesla coil of electricity and of lightning, and ended up in the Baraboo, Wisconsin emergency room with what they thought was permanent damage to my left foot. Fortunately, it healed 100%, but I was pretty screwed up. I got completely knocked out.
Something tells me you're the most famous guy ever to do anything in Baraboo, so they must be excited about
that. Yeah, that Chris Angel freaking you. Boy, that kid was weird.
You do travel a lot. Are you ever going to come up to Seattle and do some kind of trick?
I certainly would love to. I'm right now in the midst of figuring out whether I'm going to be doing my live show on tour or at a permanent venue, and I'm hoping to be able to announce that in the next 8 to 10 weeks.
Okay. You don't tour a lot, do you, Chris?
I'm sorry?
You don't tour a lot.
No, I had a show in Times Square that I did 600 performances, and, I've done... I travel constantly. I do different things, but right now my focus, I'm shooting 20 or 21 new episodes right now, so that's incredibly demanding because not only am I involved in creating the show and performing in it, but I'm also the executive producer, so I'm involved in the editing and the delivery and the whole thing. I have a production company, and
big
so we're working on this series as well as some... other.
Do you know what you are, Chris? You're like the Martha Stewart of magic.
I don't know. I just kind of do my thing. I have. I'm working with Jonathan Davis, a lead singer of a band called Korn, who has their album coming out. We're working on an album right now, which I've been a musician longer than Magic, actually, and I write all the music for the show. So I work on a lot of different things. I like to not limit myself. I like to just create art in different mediums and get it out there.
World class illusionist Chris Angel, his DVD release, Mind Freak. Some of these new Christmas gifts, technology mm-hmm. gifts, fantastic. GPS walkers. You heard of those?
So you'll know where you are while
no.
you're there?
So you'll know where your old
So you'll know where Grandpa is.
Oh, a tracker for Gramps?
If Grandpa regularly grabs his walker and heads off to bed but winds up in the neighbor's garage, they built a prototype of an intelligent walker with embedded sensors, voice recognition, and a GPS. So much like, you know, that Never Lost. Have you ever had that in a rental car?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a grandpa. Left turn in 6 feet. Okay. Home 3D fabricators. If you want a CD of Grand Funk Railroad's greatest hits, you load the songs from the web, burn the disc on your home computer, and pay for it right there. Like Hear Music
yeah.
at Starbucks, we can burn a disc.
Right.
Soon home. You'll be able to do it at home. A decade from now, when you want a plastic knob for your dishwasher, instead of ordering it from a factory, you could actually load its design from the web and make it using a 3D fabrication machine. It's not just for CDs.
It's a replicator.
Exactly.
From Star Trek.
Close to Star Trek. These things are not that far away. How about sense cams? Microsoft Research Chief Rick Rashid has been pitching this product. The idea, you take a miniature digital camera, give it vast amounts of storage and pack it with tiny sensors. An accelerometer that senses when you move. Infrared sensors that know when a person is standing in front of you. GPS and more. Then you set up your preferences and tell it to shoot a photo every time you stop walking or every time a person comes near you. Every 10 seconds when the GPS realizes you're within 100 feet of a tourist attraction, say, whatever you want, you can create a picture record of your life.
So if you're too busy to enjoy or experience your life, it'll catch it for you so you can look back on what you missed being too experienced.
Now, there's another way to look at this. If you don't want to be fumbling around with a camera when you're at the Grand Canyon, this thing will go, wow, there's a big Grand Canyon out there. I recognize it.
Or better yet, when you go, what the heck did I do last night?
Casey, I don't want to get you for
perfect gift.
Well, actually, this might be for you, this next one. Seeing Eye Underwear.
Excuse me?
What? No, I'm sorry. I read it wrong.
No, we'll write that down. That's a good idea.
It's a good idea for them. It's actually Seeing Eye Eyewear. London industrial design student Katie Williams has made a prototype pair of goggles that let swimmers see their time while they're swimming to keep track of their laps as well. When you reverse, it lets you know how many laps you did. And lastly, from this article in USA Today by Kevin Maney, the electronic coffee table. Lots of companies have been working on large touch screen surfaces. Hewlett Packard and Microsoft working on building a coffee table which would be loaded with electronics and connected to the internet. You can sit around the coffee table, surf the web, share digital. I remember when they made the coffee table Pac-Man for the bar. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. This would be like the universal remote for your life, all loaded into one coffee table.
All right. They're ready to go now, and ladies and gentlemen, we're excited to hear them. Jocelyn, Tara, Dana, Late Tuesday. Thank you to Steve Lawson for bringing them in. Here's a little Christmas treat.
The icicles forming around the edge of your house compliment how you feel this time of year. So much of the world's caught up in frivolous joy. The rest in you can't wait for it to end. Oh, but this holiday you will laugh and not cry. I don't know the reason why, but I know it. And your seasonal sadness you'll release from your hold. For I know that you want to be. decorative lights hold no more magic for you, and the beauty of snow reminds you you're alone. Somewhere in the night you hear some children singing, a touch of loveliness and the pain of remembering. Oh, but this holiday you will laugh and not cry. I don't know the reason why, but I know it. Your seasonal walls you will let tumble down, for I know that you want to believe. Friends, they will call and remember you. Smiles you'll realize are for you. And your eyes waking up to the life and the love that is ready and waiting to be renewed. This holiday you will laugh and not cry. I don't know the reason why, but I know it. And the hope that you see find its way to you, for I know that you want to believe. Yeah, this holiday you will laugh and not cry. I don't know the reason why, but I know it. The tears to see will find its way to you, for I know that you want to believe.
Late Tuesday, fascinating, fantastic live performance. You guys got another song in you?
We do.
You got a lot of them, I'll bet.
With Rose and Electra?
Can we do Storybook Beautiful?
Okay.
Here we go, Storybook Beautiful.
I don't have a guitar for that.
I don't have my cable.
Okay, then.
I got to ask.
Let's do, you want to do Up on the House Top?
Real quick, too, if it's a quick story, how did you get that name, Late Tuesday?
It's not a very interesting story, but
oh, okay.
I'll tell you.
It's all right. We do that all the time.
Great.
Someone else take it.
Yeah.
When do we have to have the name by, Late Tuesday?
Hey! It's kind of a confusing name, but we had kind of met at this college ministry in Bellingham that's met on Tuesdays.
And cool. You met Late Tuesdays.
Kind of, in a roundabout way.
There was a band called Till Tuesday once.
I know.
And they broke up on a Tuesday.
We didn't mean to copy them. They're a great band, but...
You like them? Yeah, actually, you would like them.
We would.
What was the...
Amy Mann,
great singer.
We saw her here in town last summer.
Oh, fantastic. You guys, all three of you sing beautifully.
Thank you.
All three of you. Usually when you get a three-girl band, there's one that's like a little bit on the...
I play tambourine and jump.
All right. Good for you. Glad you're here, Trixie.
That's usually me.
No.
No,
it's that big puffy coat. I couldn't tell.
It's because it's keeping me warm. It's
one more song. Everybody's got their Bic lighters up. All right, so this wasn't planned. This wasn't prepared, but let's try one. What are we going to hear?
This is Up on the Housetop.
Okay.
Up on the housetop, reindeer paws, and out jumps good old Santa Claus. Down through the chimney with lots of toys, all for the little ones' Christmas joys. Oh, who wouldn't go? On the housetop, down through the chimney with good Saint Nick. Up on the housetop, reindeer paws, and out jumps good old Santa Claus. Down through the chimney of toys, all for the little ones' Christmas joys. Yeah. Oh.
great.
Can't you do another?
Are you a little jealous?
No, I love listening to harmonies like that. It uh-huh. just gives me the goosebumps.
We
I
need
love
to
it.
Find two girls to get on stage with you.
You
I know
can.
Where they work. Huh? They dance. I can think. Yeah, I know them. I know these girls.
Oh, but that's not the stage kind of dancing we mean.
Damn.
All right. So, gals, fantastic. Really wonderful.
Thank you.
Brilliant arrangements.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, it's a classic song, but never, ever have we heard of that. I should mention this, by the way. It's the 20-year celebration of Christmas in the Northwest.
Yeah.
And yet, maybe Steve can answer this question. Where is he?
I'm right here.
Steve Larson.
I'm hiding.
Is it Lawson? And I keep
it's
saying Larson.
Larson. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I should know that. I've only known the guy for 17 years.
Larson's the baker you're not allowed to go near.
That's right. Steve, it's the 20-year celebration.
And we're up to volume 8.
And the album is Christmas in the Northwest 8. Yeah. Is there a period of time there that we call the drug years?
Yeah, well, sort of. There was the gee, we don't have time years, and the uh-oh, we have to make money years, and we can't, you know,
okay.
spend a lot of time
but
on
you know what?
Year,
that's so. Okay, too, because you put it out when you have a good one.
Exactly.
You wait for talent like this to come along.
Absolutely. Well, and I'll tell you, since we've been focusing on it full-time, though, they will be every year from now on, and there's such a great amount of talent in the Northwest.
Tell me again about the benefit. It benefits Northwest Children's Hospitals.
Northwest Children's Hospitals, including Children's Hospital Regional Medical Center here in Seattle.
Okay.
And you guys are playing with our friend Brian Fennell as well. Right?
Yeah.
You've seen Brian yet?
Yes.
Pretty boy, huh?
Nice, know, nice people.
I'm a little worried about. Well, I'm not worried, but I was sitting in the front row last night when Brian played with my lovely wife, who has the biggest crush ever on him. And he looks over and he winks. I said, he winked at you.
Winked at your wife?
Yeah. That's trouble right there.
So then we're backstage afterwards, and she's just waiting to meet him. And I go, here he comes. And Brian comes up. He goes, did you see me wink at you, Joe?
He winked at me.
I said, Brian.
Did you know Joe is a homophobe? He is.
Flaming.
Morgan Freeman is quoted on 60 Minutes this coming Sunday saying something startling. The driving Miss Daisy star and the, what was the...
Shawshank. Oh.
Shawshank and what's the boxing, the female boxing movie?
Million Dollar Baby.
And this guy's monstrous star.
He won an Oscar for supporting actor in Million Dollar Baby.
And for some reason, on 60 Minutes this Sunday, you will hear him say that Black History Month is a load of crap.
I kind of agree with him.
He comes down hard on the concept of Black History Month.
Oh, I thought he was pissed that they gave him the one with 28 days.
Pardon?
February.
It's the shortest month of the year.
Oh.
We get 11, you get one. How about taking the short one? Thanks, guys.
And it's the month that nothing happens in, you know? Yeah. The football's over, baseball hasn't started. It's kind of a in-between month there.
On 60 Minutes this Sunday, he says, quote, you're going to relegate my history to a month? I don't want a Black History Month. Black history is American history. Freeman notes that there is no White History Month.
Well...
says the only way to get rid of racism is to, quote, stop talking about it. He says, I'm going to stop calling you a white man. I'm going to ask you to stop calling me a black man. You know?
Hey, I've been saying this for years, and people tell me I'm racist. You know, there's not the Miss White America pageant. I don't get to turn on WET at home on my cable network.
Well, you know? Aren't all the channels except BET, WET?
I know. I get it. But my mentality is the same as his, you know? Why are you highlighting the difference?
Yeah, but he has the right to have that mentality.
I know,
I
know, yeah. Is it Irish History Month?
I worried...
It's every day at 4 o'clock is Irish History Hour. Yeah.
I worried about that the other night. We were doing our calendar signing.
Yeah.
Do you remember this?
Oh, yes.
We were doing our calendar signing. By the way, we'll be at Car Toys in Totem Lake tomorrow night, 5 to 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see this?
No.
Dude, you scared the pants off me.
I did scare you.
You scared me.
I was just...
You're being honest.
I was being honest, and I don't know if he really appreciated it either, because he didn't stay and talk to me long.
No.
This guy came in, strapping, I would say, Norwegian-esque.
Yeah, about 6'3".
Blonde.
You know?
Oh, God, I think I know.
Good-looking guy.
You know what I'm going to say.
I know exactly where you're going with this.
Because you saw it and thought it and you didn't say anything.
You're damn right. Because I'm smarter than that.
Yeah. And he brought in this beautiful African-American gal. Mm-hmm. And the two of them, it looked to me like they were a couple.
Oh, you're married.
Well, I know, but we wouldn't have known if I didn't ask. And you looked at me like, you're asking him if he's married to that black woman. And
that's
I,
not why
is
I
that
looked,
what
that's
you
not,
said?
That's
you
not, why I looked, not exactly what
that's
I said.
That's not why I looked at you like
I
that.
This.
That would have rolled off my back like water off a duck.
So I said, yeah, you guys a couple? And he said, we're married. And I said, oh, you're living my dream.
That's no, you didn't.
That's not what you said. You're
what
cleaning it up.
I'm cleaning it up.
You know, it's always been a fantasy of mine.
I didn't say fantasy.
Exactly
I
what you said.
I specifically said dream.
You said fantasy.
I did not say fantasy.
You said fantasy.
You're spinning it.
You know, it's always been a fantasy of mine. Should I tell them? You said. And I said, I think they know now, Bob. You might as well lay it out there.
And I said, yeah, but I told the story.
You did.
My parents, had I brought home a black girl
oh,
to
right.
date? I know.
Did you have a shovel in your hands?
No,
you
know what?
Mind.
God love you. You laid
this
it out there.
From the heart, I'm telling you. Congratulations
yeah.
for you.
Sweet,
you laid it out there, man.
I said, had I bought home a black girl, my dad would have disowned me even more than he already did.
And you told him, look, I grew up back in the East Coast in the 60s when it was very racially divided.
It was charged.
It was
yeah.
horrible.
So... And then he smiled and said hi and shook my hand, but he didn't get into the whole let's talk about it for a while.
Well, what is there to say? That's like looking at a woman.
Oh,
and
I could spend, if they were willing, I could spend hours asking them about it, because to me, it's like, what did you experience? Like, what sort of, how were your parents?
Hi, nice to meet you. I can
on,
see that you're black. How is that working out for you?
It's an Oscar-winning movie. What yeah, do you? What yeah. is it so weird to see it in person and ask someone about it?
Guess who's coming to the calendar signing? We should have called, right?
Anyway, I applaud them.
Completely.
And because there's still people out there that think that's, you know, that you shouldn't mess with. For example, there'd be people that think Keith Flowers should not go to the Philippines, mm-hmm. bring a bride here, mm-hmm. and commingle the races. I wonder what the Earth will look like in 5,000 years. Because we're eliminating... the barriers that of geography that have yeah. existed. You know, the first way to eliminate them is with the internet, so you can like put a webcam and look at each other and say, you know, you're pretty hot. You are 13,000 miles away, but damn it, I'm coming.
Right.
And that's going to get rid of the best way to cure racism is a very slow cure. I estimate about 5,000 years, there won't be any different races. We'll all be the same.
Well, a lot of people dread and fear. The prediction you're making. A lot of people come. I watch the your daytime talk shows after we're off the air in here, and you see the African Americans that are up in arms because they're mixing the races and they're destroying their ethnic heritage.
Well, I would prefer to see people also. I do feel a little bit at romanticism. I would prefer to see them keep their ethnic heritage to some extent, but then also appreciate each other and not. Have these prejudices. But if you're going to have the prejudices, I'll just tell you, eventually they're going to be wiped out by commingling. Mm-hmm. Don't you think so, Eric?
Oh, well, absolutely.
You do think that's going to happen?
Oh, sure. In fact, the irony is that in the future, assuming that the human race survives, there will not be any more white people. We're all going to be brown-skinned.
Well,
there
it's going to be.
Are you saying that ultimately we can't hold our own in that regard, that sooner or later every one of our cute-looking, Casey-like cute women are going to mm-hmm. eventually have some... NBA star, some, well...
Well, whether they're Asian or African, but well, yes, we're going to be sort of light brown
and
skin.
And we're going to have brown skin.
Because the sun, because the
ozone
layer.
Is gone.
Yeah, I mean, it's your hairspray.
I know, I got to
say that. Maybe this is evolution's way of making up for
the
hairspray.
The polar caps are melting and we're getting darker. It's got to happen, you know?
All right.
And scientifically, the more we intermingle, the better. I mean, the diversity in the gene pool is essential. The more different two people are, the better chance of having healthy kids.
That's why Keith's potential mate is looking off the island.
And that's right, because where she lives,
right.
most people are cousins. Yep. Let's take quick phones on this. Do you think we're nuts? Or can you see, every time we do a way far into the future thing, I rile up a few mm-hmm. people who flame me in the email, but do it on the radio. 1-800-252-1025. Will racism ultimately be cured by the Earth only being one race? Or do you think that can never happen? And I want you to look, don't just look in your lifetime. Look 5,000 years into the future if you can.
I can look back in my lifetime, having been raised in the South. You could not have had a black and white couple holding hands 20 years ago. I mean, it just would not be seen. Now you can go to Atlanta or Memphis or New Orleans and it's not a problem anymore.
Well, no, no, no. You'll see it, but it's still a problem for a lot of folks.
Well,
my friends
people may have a problem.
The
but
friends I grew up with from the East Coast come here. I mean, within the last 5 years, my friends have come to visit us in Seattle from Baltimore, and I'm embarrassed when my friends are like, geez, you guys got a lot of mixed couples out here.
Right.
And they're not saying it like, wow, what a wonderful revelation of humanity.
No, they're still a little bit there. Yeah. I can remember a time when you did not have a beautiful Asian woman in your house unless she called you Mr. Eddie's father. And it wasn't that long ago.
Dinner ready?
1-800-252-1025. Shane.
Hello.
Yeah. Shane?
Shane says that mimes are being bred out of extinction. Yeah.
Rick the Bouncer.
What's up, Bob? Hey, I live in Bellevue. My wife is white. We've been together 16 years. It's going to always, always be racism. Always.
When you say always, what about 5,000 years from now?
I'd be dead, and I wouldn't know that about that. But I know one thing. In my lifetime, in my daughter's lifetime, in your lifetime, it's going to always, always be racism.
Do you think your daughter might not live to see a day when we just get over it?
They will never get over it. It's a competition. It's a balance of power. I mean, that's the way it's going to be. That's the way I feel. That's the way it's going to always be, racism.
But as things get more watered down or what have you, I mean, your daughter is half of a black person, half of a white person. Then she's going to have a child, and we're all going to kind of mold into one color here, aren't we, eventually?
Yes, I agree with you on that. I agree with you on that. But that's how I feel. You know.
Yeah, that's Rick the Bouncer. Russ and Everett, go ahead, Russ.
Yeah. Hey. Well, I'm Swedish Danish, and my fiance is pure Nigerian, and we're going to be getting engaged. Already engaged. We're going to be getting married here pretty shortly. But we've already got a 7-month-old, and I got to say. You know, he's one of the most beautiful little boys ever, and he's healthy, and, you know, we're looking forward to having a lot more kids here in the future. So I got to say, you know, as people become more worldly and as old attitudes kind of fall by the wayside, you're going to see a lot of people who really aren't, you know, white or black or anything, because they're going to be everything.
But so, if you married a pure Nigerian woman, you do know that your child will be considered black.
Yep. I do. I mean, but if somebody wants to try to catalog somebody like that, well, then so be it.
Well, it'll be good. It'll be in a kind of a male Halle Berry kind of a way, and there's nothing wrong with that.
But he'll be the only black guy named Ivar.